Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary.
In
doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Well, hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be about all you could be for Christ Jesus. We're in for a great time this morning. I'm glad to be back on the air. I've been missing for a couple of weeks, but I've been about my Father's business. You know, last weekend, I went over to a prison fellowship training class because, you know, I'm involved in prison ministry, and I think that you ought to be equipped to do the things that you do. You know, the gospel says, the word of God says, study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed. But I will come back to you and later on during this show to share with you some of the things that I experienced at the Prison Fellowship Training class that was located here in Dallas, Texas. But this morning, I'd just like to thank you for once again joining us again on this internet program. We're in for a great time this morning, as we stated earlier. I would like to thank the sponsor of this program, Granny's Place, with Granny's Place Ministry. Granny's Place Ministry is a nonprofit ministry that's meeting the needs of our at-risk teenagers and young adults. We are very faithful and committed about what we're doing, and as God allows us to reach it, the hearts of young men and women with making a difference in their life for the kingdom. But this morning we'd like to bring on to this show, we have two guests this morning. Our first guest is A.J. Arthur Johnson, the founder of Hair and Hope Grooming Ministry, a ministry for the homeless. And at this time we will bring him on, and he's going to come on and he's going to share with you some things that's dear to his heart. Good morning, Mr. A.J.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to our program. Welcome to our internet studio, sir. Just have a seat and make yourself comfortable.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Now, Mr. AJ, I met you and I was so sort of connected there. But please introduce yourself to our listening audience and tell us what God have you up to in this season.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the air. I appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on your program. We really do. And my name is AJ. Everybody calls me AJ. My name is AJ Arthur Johnson. But God called me a while back to start an organization called Hair and Hope. And what we do, we are a group of barbers and hairstylists. And what we do, we go to the shelters and we provide free hair grooming for men, women, and children for the past 19 and a half years.
Amen. For 19 and a half years. Now, how did you get involved in something like this? Because, you know, that seems like it's longevity. It seems like, that, you know, that you could be doing something else. But what compelled you to do this type of ministry?
Well, you know, that's a good question. People have been asking that for years. And I guess you can say it starts way back. Years ago, when I was young, I was homeless once upon a time. And I can remember where I couldn't afford a haircut. And I can remember I was in and out of foster homes and pretty much homeless at a very, very young age. And I couldn't afford to get my hair cut. And so my brother, foster brother, you know, had me bought some clippers and he cut my hair. At times he couldn't cut it. I learned to cut my own hair. That's probably when I was in seventh grade. And as times went on, by the time I got to high school, I was pretty good. Then I went to college. Later on, I went to Barber College. This was in Los Angeles. And after that, I moved to Texas. I'm making a long story short. And later on in life, and I tell people this is honest truth, God told me in a dream to start a ministry for the homeless because he knew my history. And that was my calling, I believe. And I prayed about it, and I talked to other people in ministry. They said, if that's your calling, do it. And so I started going to the shelter. I called a few shelters and contacted them, and I told them, you know, what I'd like to do. And I can remember the first time I went to Dallas Life Foundation, you know, the volunteer coordinator at that time, asked me how long I was going to be up there. I told her, well, probably a couple hours. So it was on a Saturday morning, the first time I went to Dallas Life. But the plan was to cut a few heads and only stay a few hours. But it didn't happen like that. You know, I got there about 8 o'clock that morning, and actually I didn't leave until about 8 o'clock at night. And I tell you, this is the honest truth, I ended up cutting almost 50 heads. After talking to the residents of Dallas Life, and God had showed me through the Holy Spirit what their needs were, okay, that compelled me, and right then I knew what God had called me to do. And so I almost ended up cutting 50 heads. I talked to them, and they told me what their needs were. They told me the most important thing you can tell somebody is thank you. And so and we never looked back then.
Oh, so man, that is great, Dad. And I like what you said there. You talked to them and you saw what their needs were. You just didn't go out there on your own. You wanted to see what the needs were, and you wanted to minister to that need. And that's the foundation of a ministry. You know, when I was homeless, somebody fed me. They didn't give me no clothes. They fed me. They saw what my needs were. Now, I tell you what, AJ, now tell me now, as you ministering the art of hair, I would say that right there, as you cutting hair, and you get a chance to talk to the men's, and you hear their dreams and their hopes. And I like what your foundation says, at hair and hope. Tell me about some of the things that you're able to, that you experience as you talk to men's. Because they're not all, you know, just broken. They have visions.
Well, here's the thing. You're right. What we try to do is minister to them. And I tell people, the haircut is just to get you in the seat.
I like that.
You know, and once I start on your hair, you can't leave. And so I try to get you to open up to me. Because you're right, a lot of men have been broken. They've been hurt. But they have visions. Some of them have fell on bad luck. I tell them all the time, we all have fallen short by the glory of God. And sometimes I think God may put you back in this position to humble you. But in the meantime, okay, we're going to give you a transformation. We're going to give you a new start. Everybody deserves a new start in life. So if we take the time to pray with you in the middle of this haircut, we'll do that. If you just want to listen while I talk to you, we can do that. If you want me to listen while you talk to me, we can do that. But when it's all said and done, okay, you have an opportunity to have a new start. And I tell people, it starts on the inside out. So when you go to the mirror after the haircut and you look at yourself and you see somebody has came down there to give you a new start with a haircut, with a simple haircut, it can change your whole life. That's what it did for me years ago after my mother died. Remember, after my mother died, I didn't get a haircut for a whole year. I didn't have anybody cut my hair other than when my foster brother did it. When he gave me the haircut, it gave me a new start. I remember that. God remembered that. And so these people have been down. Now, think about it. I tell people this, Pastor. Minister, I tell people this. Think about it. I said, think about corporate America. Think about how a simple haircut can change your life. And what I mean by that, think about people can donate your clothes, they can give you a job, they can give you this. But when you look in the mirror, you look at yourself and like, huh, I can't even afford to get a haircut. You can give me a job, you can donate me clothes, but I need a haircut. And so when you get that person opportunity to look at themselves and like, man, now I can go out here and I can get a job. And I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm saying. Okay. A lot of times people come up to me, they approach us, you know, probably cutting hair. Okay, and they ask for a haircut. And they say, well, I need to get a job. And they'll tell us a lot of times, well, I went out to get a job, but I couldn't get a job because of where I was groomed. And they know it. They know it. But what happened was they'll come back and we'll cut the hair, we'll groom them up. Okay, we'll trim the beard, we'll give them a nice haircut. Okay, we'll transform them. And they go look in the mirror. They give them that confidence. And they'll go out there and come back and say, hey, I got the job. That was that one opportunity. That's all they needed. And they build their confidence. And it's like this. We fed them like Christ did. Okay, and then now we can talk to them. We can minister to them. So that's how it works, I guess. Hope I didn't talk too much.
No. You do it okay because somebody needs to hear this because somebody have a ministry in them and it's as simple as cutting the hair. You know, that's a very simple ministry, but it's a profound ministry. It's a needed ministry because, you know, I do a street ministry and a lot of other things. And you know, and I don't think very much of the hair. I said, well, if I get a man's clothes, I put some shoes on his feet and mm-hmm. help his, mm-hmm. you know, just make him look better. But what about the head? You know, mm-hmm. you know. What about the haircut? So you're onto something there. You're onto something. You know, AJ, I met you a few weeks ago. We was down at Dallas Life. And they had made mention that you had been down there for a number of years, man. And here, I go down there. I've been down there a long time too. But yeah, there was someone down there that's been doing this longer than I have. And that's to me, that's confirmation because sometimes AJ, we think we doing ministry, we think we the only one doing it, we think we've been doing it alone. But guess what? God have other men that's doing the same thing you doing, and even longer than you. And so my hat goes off to you. It encouraged me to keep going, brother.
Well, thank you, and praise you for what you do, for what God has called you to do. Because what I tell people, it's just important. This is what I told Clarice Tinsley at Fox 4 News years ago when she came down and she talked to us. I said, it's like a domino effect. It's like one good deed deserves another. Okay? And when you fall down and when God tells somebody to pick you up, it may not be AJ with Heron Hope. It may be Minister Joel. It may be somebody else. But it's still, you have touched that person in one form or another, okay? And then that person picks up his life, and hopefully he'll go touch somebody else's life. And so that's what it's all about, as far as I'm concerned.
And that is so true because, you know, the scripture says, for when you are restored, you're the strength in your brother. And you said some things about how you got into that. And my story is similar to yours. I was homeless. I was addicted to drugs. And people fed me and people clothed me, man. Yeah. I ran out and my life didn't change right then. But after a process of time, man, the gospel was implanted in me, and it grew, man, and it brought forth fruit. And now I look back and say, wow, man, God, he loved me. He had no respect of person. He showed me favor. Mm-hmm. Now, in turn, I turn around and try to do the same for someone else. And guess what? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't see the results of that, but it don't make me quit doing what I'm doing. And I know you the same way, brother. You cut a man's hair, and you may not ever see him again. You may see him in a worse condition, but it don't stop you from doing what God called you to do.
Well, amen, brother. I mean, it's about like you did. As far as serving others, it's about planting the seed. You know, that's what it's all about. It's planting the seed and watching it grow and changing lives.
And that's so true. Now, tell me, AJ, now, you know, you've been doing this a number of years. Occasionally, people see you and they thank you for what you've done some time ago, and you don't even recall it. But they know about it, and they was there, and they experienced the blessing that you got. Now, what kind of result do that give you when you see somebody and they give you a thank you, and you don't know? Because after 50 heads, bro, you can't remember who you've been cutting. You've been doing this a number of years.
Well, you know, good question. You know, it's a satisfaction seeing a simple smile and seeing that you have taken the opportunity to do something good for yourself and see a smile on your face. I mean, think about it. I'm going to give you an example, for example. It makes me feel good. It makes us feel good because, you know, it bothers hairstyles when we go up there. Okay. When you talk to those children, okay, knowing if they go to school, they're going to get criticized because they can't afford to get a haircut, their mama can't. Their mother's can't because, you know, she's got three children. And we all know, I mean, we all know if you got three or four boys and you're a single mom or not, and you're trying to get your hair cut, okay, and you can't afford it. But when you can see that child, or that little boy, who was once Mr. Joe, and who was, you know, we were little boys, and we grew up, and somebody put a smile on our face, and when you can put that smile on a little boy's face, and he turned around, he said, thank you, Mr. AJ, okay, that's the greatest joy you can have, more than anything, as far as I'm concerned. And so that's one of the reasons why we're doing it.
That is so true. I do a juvenile ministry, and I was giving out Bibles. I still give out Bibles. But to our young youth, I give them little pocket Bibles because they're not going to tote around a big full-size Bible. I give them a pocket Bible, a New Testament. And so the guys asked me, they said, what am I going to do with this? I said, well, put your girlfriend picture in it, put your mama picture in it, put some money in it. You know, I'm giving them some idea, but when they put stuff in it, hopefully they read what they put in there, you know.
Amen.
So I was at a grocery store one day, and this young man, he was sacking groceries. And he said, I know you, don't I? I said, well, I come up here from time to time. He said, no, I know you somewhere else. Well, they tell me that I know what they're talking about. And he reached in his back pocket, AJ, and he pulled out this Bible that was beat up, man. It was, you know how it got a little ruffle around the edges? But it was still intact, and he opened it up, and he said, you're the Bible, man. Look, I still got this Bible. And I thought about just a little token of love right there, man. And I didn't even know him from anybody else, but this idea that when we sharing the gospel with men and women, man, it makes a difference in their lives. And so the haircut and the show of love that you're doing to the individuals, man, it lasts a lifetime. When someone feel like they don't nobody care about them, they can think about a barber that shared words of wisdom as he gave them a new grooming, man, and gave them a new hope for life. Man, I like your title, man. The founder of Her and Hope. I love that, brother.
Well, thank you very much. It's about, I tell, first and foremost, I tell folks that it's about Jesus Christ. That's it. That's number one. When you come there and you sit down, first of all, when you listen to folks and you can plant that seed of Jesus Christ in your life, okay, and if it takes a haircut and groom to do that, okay, if that's what it takes to do it, okay, then we'll do it. And all we're doing, as well as what God has called you to do, minister, we're just vessels. I'm just a vessel. I tell people it's about giving God the glory. It's really not about AJ, and I thank people, and I really do, but it's really about giving God the glory. The Lord Jesus' glory is to let the people know, hey, listen, don't give up hope. I'll give you a free haircut, okay, but don't give up hope. If you have nothing else, you have nothing else in your life, don't give up hope. So when he's sitting down there, this is what I try to tell the other barbers and hairstylists, talk hope in these people's lives. Talk hope, you know, talk Christ to them. Let them go eat lunch, if they ain't ate, we'll come when they come back and sit in your chair. Give them hope. And so that's what we try. And that's transformation.
Hey, man, God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
You know, AJ, now tell us about the other members of your team here, because I know that, you know, I met you, but there's other people that walk beside you that do what you do as often as they can. How many people do you have at a given time? And the location that you go to, they give someone some hope, because as we send our relatives out to these places, we know that there's somebody that's going to be ministering to them in words and deeds, man, because we also, my uncle's at this shelter, my uncle is at this shelter, my mama, my cousin, and we need to let them know there's godly people at the shelter. It's not just a warehouse. It's a house of hope.
I'm going to say this, Minister. Over the last 19.5 years, we've had probably 200 to 300 different barbers and hairstylists that have dedicated their time, their energy, their skills, their love, and their kindness to come up there and give back whatever reason God put in their heart. And to answer your question, a lot of times, because of their situation over the years, sometimes it's just me. Sometimes it's nine of us. Sometimes we go to an event. Sometimes somebody calls out. And to answer your question, I can remember a while back when they saw us on Fox 4 News, they heard about our story, about our organization. And this one lady wanted to get involved. She called me. And she drove from Fort Worth, Texas to Dallas Life for a whole year. And her husband was sick. And she gave back. And she was a hairstylist.
Hey, man.
Now, she gave her time for a whole year and dedicated. She drove from Fort Worth every Monday she would come up there a day off. And I would ask her, why would she do it like that? And she said, the same reason you would, AJ, and you did, it's love. That's the greatest thing you can give anybody is love. They may not have money. They may not have anything else. But this woman did this out of pure kindness of her heart. So it's normally, a lot of times we have, over the years, quite a few barbers and hairstylists. But normally to work with us, we have, it's a good, probably a good 10 of us that go through the Dallas Life. A lot of times we go to Officer Street and go to Salvation Army on a pretty much consistent basis who give their time, every week, to go back and serve others. So, and they do it pretty often, we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about.
Hey, well, thank you for sharing that, because we had to realize that we're not in this alone. And like you say, they share their love. And sometimes, AJ, God calls us to a particular ministry, and we had to be faithful, and then we pray that other people come alongside of us. Sometimes they can't make it. We can't get mad and say, if you can't make it this week, don't show up no more. Man, this is God's business. And that's why
I tell people,
when God calls you to a bit, you have that passion, and if other people come around as for a season, as often as possible, and people get mad, well, they're not faithful to the ministry. No, they're faithful to God. It ain't faithful to the ministry. It's being faithful to God. And so thank you for sharing that with us, because we realize, and I wanted to hear that, because I want our listening audience to know that as God have called us to a particular ministry and given us the passion to do that, sometimes we have to go alone. And sometimes we have a lot of people. And so we have to work our ministry in season and out of season. And you've been faithful at what you're doing, brother. You've been faithful. Now, AJ, our ministry is dedicated to our young men and women. I love juvenile ministry. I do jail ministry for the youth and also for the adults.
Mm-hmm.
But our young people, as I go down, I always tell them about careers and opportunities, and it always comes from God. As you cut the young men's hair and you look at the young kid that's standing around and they ask you little questions, some of them say, hey, I want to be a barber, Tell me about some of the young kids, how I said. And sometimes you get an opportunity to see them things develop. Because you've been doing this a while, and some guys may have said it passingly, the next thing you know, they're cutting hair.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because, years ago, that's kind of how I started. Seeing another older barber. But, yes, a lot of times when I'm at the Dallas Life or we go out to other places, little kids, they come up, and they'll just stare, and there's a look. And they say, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm working. I'm cutting hair. They had a little question. But at that point, a seed is being planted. Because the reason why I say that, we've had over a number of years that those kids you see, in the 1900s, some of them have grown up to be barbers and hairstylists. And one or two of them, may not be a whole lot of them, be very honest with you, have came back up there and donated their time and given back, because they stood there and they looked, and the seed was planted. Because they remembered I was at a shelter. I could remember that I had somebody who gave me a haircut when I needed one. And I've seen that over the years. So when I see the little kids standing around there looking, they're also thinking. And little kids can be grateful, so they'll get up and they'll say thank you, So we try to impact all kind of people's lives while we're there, impact people's lives.
And that's so true. You know what? You made mention of it, and I'm afraid I hadn't said anything, but you're saying the hairstylist. And I got thinking about the women's, because women need grooming too. They need to have their hair, looking nice and adorned beautifully. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because you do have people that comes in and can take care of the needs of the women also.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Thank you for asking. Yes, we have. We have hairstylists come up there, and they have their own salons, and they work in salons, at different salons, and yes, they do come up there. And, the difference between women and men, a lot of times, see, when men get the haircut, we get it, and we move on. Of course, when women come up there, the hairstylists, of course, they have to bring a whole lot of tools, and they sit there patiently, while they get the hair done, and they really enjoy it, they conversate with each other. And they talk about the gospel, they minister to each other, it may be three or four hairstylists, and women just sitting around to enjoy themselves. And it's really a womanhood, a sisterhood. And there's those women hairstylists, they're impacting those women's lives while they're getting their hair done. And those women at these shelters are so, Mr. Let me tell you something, please. They are so grateful. Because a lot of times these women hair are mangled. They haven't had their hair done in 2 or 3 years. Some of them have been on the street. Some of their hair have been damaged. Because see, when we do hair, it's not exactly clean a lot of times. I'll be very honest with you. You know, sometimes it's so damaged. Sometimes it's been diseases that cause the hair to get like this. We have to use different types of cosmetics to clean their hair. We have to get to the nitty-gritty of it. But it's the love that they put out there, and these women are so appreciated. The hairstylists come up and they give their love, and when they get through, it looks, you would be surprised how they look. You would be surprised.
They ready to be presented to the king. Man, thank you for what you're doing. Our time is pretty well drawing to a close on this particular interview. AJ, thank you very much. AJ, you have a passion that you share with me, and please tell us about your passion, how you're giving back. You're not only ministering, but you also do something else that's a labor of love. Now, it's raining today, which is the reason why we got you out here for an extended interview. But what is it that you enjoy doing when you're not ministering to men and women down to Life Foundation?
Well, one of my passion, of course, is working out. I love to work out. I love the umpire baseball games and basketball games. It's another one of my passion. And another one of my passion. I love to get with people and sit down and conversate, you know, and see where their minds are. A lot of times, you know, I can go back up to the shelter and sit down and may not cut hair, and we sit down and we just talk. You know, to people. That's when I believe now I get to know those folks and open up to them. So I guess ministry is pretty much my passion. But one of my main passions, of course, is doing baseball and basketball. I guess because I've been around sports all my life. You know, and I'm probably in basketball games and, baseball games and referee basketball games. So I really enjoy that.
Hey, man, that's a blessing there, bro. You know, that's ministry also. And, you know, and I like to hear the human side of ministry because we all have passion and hobbies that we enjoy doing. But most of all, we enjoy ministry. I thank you for what you're doing, brother. It's because of men and women like you that allow me to do what I do. Because someone prayed for me, man, when I couldn't pray for myself and when I didn't have enough sense to pray for myself. Someone ministered to me through words and deeds. Brother, keep doing what you're doing because it's making a difference. And the theme of this program is saying help change a life. And each time you cut and groom a person, her, man, you're changing lives, man. You're changing lives. Because they have a better outlook. They feel better about themselves. They're able to present themselves to their families, go out on jobs, or just socialize in a proper manner, man.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for what you're doing, man. Because someone's life has been changed by what you're doing and your ministry team is doing.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you so much for having us on the air. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, God bless you. AJ, you know you're always welcome to be a guest on the program. I'm going to call you from time to time, and we're going to talk about ministry. You know, because I enjoy ministry. And keep doing what you're doing. I met you down at Dallas Life Foundation, and it's long overdue, but it was right on time, brother. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it. We really do.
Amen. Well, God bless you. You enjoy the balance of your day, and we're looking forward to speaking with you later on, offline, and God bless you, brother.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
You
have a great one.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. What a great interview that we had there with Mr. AJ, founder of Her and Hope Grooming Ministry for the Homeless. He was sharing with us the importance it is to be about our Father's business. He was sharing with us the importance it is to for the men and women to have proper attire, proper grooming habits, and how his ministry is helping restore the lives of men and women, and also giving people hope. And that's what ministry is all about. I want you to stay tuned because we have another guest that's coming up here in just a few minutes, and she's going to share with us Dana Christie. She has a workshop called Living with Passion, a Christian workshop, and she's also the author of a book and also write another book. So come on, listen to what she had to say and be a part of her workshop. But until she give us a call here, I'd like to give you the call-in number. I didn't give you the call-in number a while ago. That number is 310-982 4126. You too can call in, listen to the program, and be encouraged by our guest this morning. All our shows are archived, so you can go back and you can listen to them at a later date, and you can share them with family and friends, and you can download it on your Facebook, and that way you can listen to it over and over and encourage yourself. We want to thank Mr. Arthur for allowing himself to be used by God, and he's been doing this a long time. You know, my hat goes off to anybody that's been doing ministry a while, because sometimes the enemy will come up and tell you, why you doing it like this? Why you doing it so long? Ain't nobody going to appreciate it. And those things there, they may be true, but dude, we doing it unto God. And God be the glory. And as our next guest is getting ready to call in here, we want you to be mindful that we have several other broadcasts on this Blog Talk Network. On Monday nights, we have My Sister, My Friend, hosted by LaShondra Lewis. It's a women's ministry, a women's talk show, and they come on and they talk about women's issues dealing with Christianity. Women's issues dealing with Christianity, amen. And then on Wednesday night, we have the Linda Jordan prayer ministry called the Kingdom Call. That's Elder Linda Jordan, and she comes on, and it's a prayer line, and she give us a Bible study, and she also go before God in prayer. She's an intercessor for us that's in need of prayer. You know, prayer changes things, you know, because of prayer. I'm here because of prayer. You're here. Prayer makes a difference in our life. And then on Friday nights, we have a show for young men and women that's called Street Talk, where we're dealing with our young adults and their issues. So we have them to come on. And now we have our guests that just call in. So we're gonna stop here and we're going to bring our guests in. But again, I want you to continue to listen to the show. The call-in number is 310-982-4126. And now as we make ourselves available for our next guest, I want you to be mindful that this young lady, she's an author, she's an ordained pastor, and she hosts a workshop called Living Life Passion, a workshop for Christians, and also the author of a bestseller book. And at this time, I'd like to introduce you to Ms. Dana Christie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on the program. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Welcome to our internet studio. Take a seat. Make yourself comfortable. And tell us about what God has been up to in your life. Reintroduce yourself and tell us about the ministry that God put to your hands to do.
All right. Well, thank you. My name is Dana Creasy, and God has given me a ministry called Relationships God Style, and it's to minister help to the hurting through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we have five pillars that we work from. It's healing, encouragement, love, peace, and purpose, which is help. That's where the help comes from, through the love of Jesus Christ and through his word. So God gave me this back in 88 when I was going through a rough time in a marriage, separated after 15 years and going through a divorce. But God kept sending me people to coach them about his word and marriage and family and the role of a wife, and you know, my pastor was sending people, and I just didn't understand why this was happening, because I had my own issues in my marriage, and they would take what the word said and they would, you know, reunite and live happily ever after, and my stuff was not working that way. But my pastor finally convinced me that if people keep coming to you, and you know, God's, and you keep sharing with them, it's like you can't help it. That's what God is doing. So you need to take that and ask him what he wants to do with that. So I formed a nonprofit, because he told me it was supposed to be nonprofit, and I've been doing coaching, and I wanted to go to seminary. He allowed me to go to seminary and get a master's in theological studies and be licensed and ordained while I was going through seminary for those 3 years. And it's just been a blessing. I do premarital counseling. I do marriage coaching. I've married some people. And God's just been blessing. But after my divorce, I wanted to know, God, what, you know, really, how you want to work this? What is my purpose? And so I sought God out for my life purpose, and he directed me to a life purpose class, and I went through the class and discovered, you know, he refined it. This was my purpose. Gave me a scripture, 1 Peter 4:10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same gift one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So he's saying, as I've given this to you, I need you to share it with other people. And so then I started a life purpose classes for 2 or 3 years, and then got involved in corporate America in my work, and it pulled me away. But, you know, the last 2 or 3 years, God's calling me back to it. Because I was still doing it, I just wasn't doing it as much. But people, God kept sending me people and giving me opportunities to do it and hold workshops and seminars. And but one piece he told me was missing was the financial piece. Because once you find out what your purpose is and you get excited about it and you want to do it, it costs money. But if you don't have your finances in order, in God's order, then he can't send the resources that you need to flow through you. That's what he showed me. So I went on that financial freedom journey, and God sent me some good people to show me about stewardship at my church. I got into stewardship ministry, and I teach financial freedom classes. Been doing it since 2006. And I do budget coaching and workshops, and God told me to write a book. So I did write a book called A Suitable Helper, based on Genesis 2:18. But it's a suitable helper, a good steward of God's resources. And God's really blessed with the book. You know, people have contacted me and said, you know, going through the book, their financial life has been changed and they've gotten on a different path. And it's just been a blessing. It's been a blessing.
Hey, man, God bless you. Now, I wanted to just park here for just a second, talk about your life purpose courses and classes that you're developing. Give us some insight on that, though, because a lot of times we know that we've been called by God, but we don't know what our purpose is. How do we go about defining that and working towards that?
Thank you for asking that, because that's really one of my core passion is to help people connect with God. Because I can't tell people what their purpose is, because, I mean, I didn't make you. God did. But you have to take the time to connect with God to find out what it is. And I've talked to so many people. If you get 5 people in a room, one person may have an idea of what they should be doing, you know, their passion. But most people don't know, and they don't want to take the time, or either, I don't know if it's fear or what, but they don't take the time to do it. So this is a 12-week class. It's 11 sessions, and then it's a graduation ceremony that follows. But we talk about what purpose is, and it's all biblically based on what the Word of God says. And we talk about what it means to be a woman, because it's geared toward women, but men can learn from it too. But what God has given me is for women, and I just feel like once he sends me a king to come alongside of me, then that person will take care of the men. But it's what's in a name. Your name means something. Because I know you know what your name means, Minister Lewis, but I did want to share from my resources. It says God's messenger, which is what you're doing. You're God's messenger. And it says Romans 12:2 is your scripture. So you're God's messenger. You're doing it.
Well, God bless you. I hadn't thought about it. I usually consider myself as being a servant, but you know, I guess God's messenger is a servant also. You know.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So it's your name means something. It doesn't matter
what
how
scripture
who
is that
named
now?
You.
I'm writing this down.
Romans
12. Okay, great. I tell you what, it's always good to encourage yourself. They said David
prayed
for himself. That's
right. That's right. Because sometimes nobody's going to be there to do it. You have to do it. But yeah, I looked up your name. I said, look at Minister Joe. He's doing it. He's the God's messenger. Romans 12, too. You're doing it. So your name means something. Like my name, Dina, means peaceful. And once I learned that, then I had to learn that in the spirit, God's telling me, you are peaceful. So you're not combative. You're not argumentative. So every time your name is called, even if the enemy tries to take you down a road, then you need to come back and say, no, I'm peaceful. I'm peaceful. And so
and you know,
that's one thing that God.
Minister Dana, as you were saying that. And, you know, even though you were saying your name, a lot of times you can do those things without even saying a word. You know, you come in the room and things of it, and you got peaceful. People look at you and you're peaceful. It isn't so much as
right.
what you're saying. I like what you're saying. And just being, you know, as you saying God message. You don't have to say a word, but somebody know that, hey, it's something about you. We can't just keep doing what we're doing when you're around, you know.
That's right.
I like that. Tell me more.
So we talk about what's in the name. And then we talk about we spend two sessions talking about your specific ingredients. What has God put inside of you? You have to take the time to think about that. Just like Moses, everything he went through, God used that for him to be the deliverer, to take the Hebrew slaves out of Egypt. Everything he went through, like my pastor always say, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God's going to use it for his glory. So, but you have to talk, what about your experiences? What have you done? What have you been through? What is it? God's going to use it. Just like God used my 15 years of marriage, my separation, my divorce, he used that to birth ministry. He uses it. And then we spend two sessions talking about your being a good steward of God's resources. So we talk about budgeting and all the scriptures that God talk about when it comes to money and finances and wealth that the Bible has, that we haven't even looked at. You know, we always blame other people or outside external circumstances what's going on. But God's in control. So his order is give, save, spend, and be content. So it's give, save, spend. Give a tithe, which is a tenth. It's still a tenth. It's still a tenth. At least a tenth. It's still that. And then you save because famine or a rainy day or whatever we want to call it is going to come. Then you spend with a plan, because the Bible talks about if you don't spend with a plan, you know, it says a foolish man spends all that he has, but a wise man saves for the future. So we have to save, and then we have to spend with the budget. You know, Dave Ramsey says every dollar should have a name. We should know where our money is going because God gave us all of it. We don't say, I'm going to give you a tenth, and the 90% is mine. I can do whatever I want to do with it. No. We have to ask
what God. Dana, we're going to just pause right here, because before you go any further, I want you to just talk more about that, because our young people, they have the world at hand, and they see all this stuff that they want, but they don't have a plan. They go out of their body, they're going to find out that, hey, these things ain't working, and next week there's something else coming up. Address that right there to our young people, just for a second.
Okay, so, yeah, because I had to learn. I wish I knew it then, but it wasn't time. But I heard about budgeting and heard about it, but every time I tried to do it, it didn't work, and it's because I wasn't doing it according to God's order. So in 2005,
okay,
when I took the class, that's when I realized, and I didn't realize there were so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about it, but you have to say God. So what the problem is with the young people, because I have a 24-year-old daughter, they want from God what they want from God, but they want it their way. And it's not going to happen. My daughter, she's my prime example. You know, I took her through the class when she was a teenager. She lived on a budget for a year, did well, but then she's gotten into her own issues, and she's having one problem after another financially. She's got two kids,
mm-hmm.
and she just keeps saying, this is not working. I said, because you're not working it. It's not going to work because you're not working it. You're not taking the information that you learned about God's principles and making it apply to your life. So that's what my book is about, my testimony. It's because young people will borrow, and then they say, well, I'm not paying. Well, it's a scripture in the Bible that says the wicked borrow and do not pay back. So do you want to be wicked?
And that is so true. And then a lot of times it's just that self-gratification. Young people and young and adults, we don't want to wait sometimes. You know, they say, hey, mom got this here going on. She got a car, she got a house, she got all these bills. And they don't realize that it was a process of getting those things and maintaining those things. You go out and buy a car, know that you can't afford to, you know, the note on it. Go live in a place that you can't afford because you saw other people doing it, and you have to realize there's a process because you didn't get to where you are.
And you have to realize, oh, yeah, you're right. And you have to realize other people's story is not your story.
Yes.
That's their story. So you don't know how they got that stuff. So I talk about that. I talk about that in my book as well. You don't know how, and the enemy uses us to compare one to another. I don't know how people have what they got. I can't worry about that, but I want what God has for me, and I want it the way He's going to give it to me. And my daughter has watched me, because what I had to learn was you have to make a drastic change in your life to get what you need to get from God. You have to make a change. You have to do something. You're not helping God, but you're turning around and giving your heart to Him, saying, God, I want what you have for me. And my children have watched me do that. It's a process. So God told me that when my lease was up in my townhome, give everything away, everything, except your clothes on your back, and move into an extended stay, which was Budget Suites of America. Pay that one payment, and that's what I did. And I stayed there for 2 years. And saved. After 2 years, God said, okay, you can get an apartment. So we moved into an apartment. I had saved, so I was able to go out and buy furniture, cash, and start over.
Yes.
I was able to start over. I stayed in the apartment for 4 years. God bless. My rent never went up. Never. For 4 years, it never went up. And every year they gave me, you know, new 2-inch blinds, or they gave me something that the other people didn't have. And then after 4 years in that apartment, God said, okay, now you're ready for a house. And He had already told me how much house to get, you know, based on the budget. And people said, I said, I need a house under $100,000 because I need to have this payment with this interest rate. And people kept saying, well, you're not going to find that. I said, I don't have to find it. God knows where it is. I just need to get the right realtor. And God gave me a realtor. That's a first lady. She was a first lady of a church, pastor's wife. But she does, you know, real estate. And she found me the house the first time, under $100,000 with everything I want, brand new, because I was, you know, I'm a little in age there. And I'm single, so I don't want to have to do a bunch of maintenance and repairs. So I wanted a brand new house with a warranty. And God gave me that with the note. It was under $100,000. It was on sale. Hallelujah for sales. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I moved
God bless.
So my children have watched it. They know.
Yes. And they need to see these things here. Now, thank you for pausing there for a second. When you said that, it ignited me, because I deal with young people and young issues and older people, and I try to let them know that you can't get these things overnight. There's a process. I do jail ministry, and the men, they in jail, they incarcerated, and then when they get out, they want to go back to their family. And I said, but there's a process, brother. The door and take over. You got to, you know, get back the things that you gave away. The enemy didn't always steal stuff. We gave stuff away.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to kind of regain those things, but God will help you regain those things. You're going to get it yourself. You're going to mess it up. Like David.
Right.
David
he
went
will
before
help
God
you
and said,
regain
God,
it.
Yeah, David went before God and said, God, my property is stolen. My family is missing. What do you want me to do? God said, go get your stuff. But doing But he had to stop and help somebody along the way. I said, never get so caught up pursuing the things of God. You're not concerned about the people of God. Thank you, Ms. Dana, because, see, you're concerned about the people of God. You ain't just pursuing things for yourself.
Nope. You got to be concerned about the people. And just like you
said, God,
David.
He's going to put people in your path.
Yes, and you got to be moving, though. When he told David, go get your stuff, he didn't tell David where the stuff was.
No, he did.
David didn't know where he was going, but he was going. So we have to go. We don't know. Yeah. And then he ran across that person to help him, and that person was the one that had the information that he needed.
And I told people,
so we can't,
don't
and
be
we
so
can't,
mindful.
Sometimes we discard people. We look at them and size them up and say, oh, they can't help me. They did. You don't know. You don't know who God going to
do. That's right. You don't know. God put something right there and see if you're going to stop and see. And you stop and your breakthrough was right there in helping. Like you said, I thought about that, because when you was hurting, you stopped and helped people. You could say, man, I'm getting just too deep. I need to help myself. But see, your breakthrough was helping someone else. You were able to find the things that had got away from you. Find yourself. Find your relationship with God.
And that's how you do it, by serving Him. Serving Him.
That's it. Hey, tell us more about your college. We want to encourage the ladies and some men to be excited for God and also be a part of what's going on here. Tell us more about your workshop, and then you give us some location and times, and we'll I'll just put that out there, and the ladies make themselves available to come to your workshop. Now, we just finished talking about being good stewards.
Yeah, be good to us. And then we talk about male-female differences, because women tend to talk to men like we talk to our girlfriends. And we wonder why they don't respond to us the way we need them to respond, because they're not a woman. So you can't talk to a man like you talk to your girlfriend. He's different. The way men receive information is different. It's tons of research out there that shows men and women communicate differently, think differently, process differently, function differently. It's not just a physical difference. It's the way men think and women think. There's, you know, the men are from Mars, women are from Venus, way back in the day when that book came out. And then it's another book called Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti, which is a comical twist, a humorous twist on the differences, because men think, in general, compartmentalize. And we are like spaghetti. We all over the place. We can multitask
and also,
do a bunch of different things.
Yeah, a touch base on this, too, because as you're talking about addressing the opposite sex, you know, sometimes men get offended that they say, well, you talk to me like I'm a child. But see, y'all raised kids. You raised a family. And so that men are just part of that family. You know, sometimes, you know, like you said, women have to address men in a different fashion.
You do. And men need to be respected. That's the way God made men. So you can't just talk to a man crazy and treat him any kind of way and think you're going to get what you need to get from him, because then you out of order as a woman. So you want to make sure you're in order. And then women will say, well, if he do what he's supposed to do, then I'll do what I'm supposed to do. You're supposed to do what you're supposed to do regardless, especially if that's your husband. You already signed up to commit. You already committed. So your job is to pray for your husband. And not tell people what he not doing, because you speaking
that
outside. Well, he not doing this. He don't take out the trash. Nobody needs to know what he not doing. When you talk about your husband outside of your house, he loves me. He's great. That's it.
Yeah.
They don't
and
need
that's
to know what he not
about
doing. They don't need to tell other people what your shortcomings are. And men need to do the same. I had an experience.
Yeah.
I went to Israel, the Holy Land, with my church when I was in Houston. It was 60 of us. And we came down for breakfast at the hotel. It was me and three other ladies was already there, and one of the pastors came down. It wasn't my pastor, but he came down, and he greeted us. And we had our name tags on, but he said, "How now, brown cows?" And I got offended. I'm thinking to myself, this is a pastor. So I stood up. I said, "Well, sir, I can't speak for these other two ladies, but please don't address me as a brown cow. My name is Dina." That's what's wrong
That's crazy.
With you women now. He just went off. I say, "Well, sir, I'm not trying to upset you, but I don't call me a brown cow. I take offense." I'm like, "What?"
Yeah, that was disrespectful.
So, yeah,
especially when you got a name tag on. You know, that's
it was disrespectful. Big old name
tags. Like that,
they gave us big name tags.
Yeah, and that's a generational type deal. It grows up like that, but we have to realize that y'all deserve to be respected, and it goes the same way for men. And so I'm glad that you touched
both
bases on those things. Because somebody listened
to this morning. So we talk about the
differences,
and then we talk about putting it all together. Because we do, when in your ingredients, we talk about your personality, your spiritual gift assessment, as well as your life experiences. So it's like mixing up all your ingredients, and then we put it all together in a life purpose worksheet so you can fill it out. Because at the graduation, you're supposed to, as you spend time with God during those 11 weeks, you're supposed to know what your life purpose is, what your name means, and you have a scripture, and you recite that at the graduation ceremony. So it's really, really, it's a blessing. It's a good time, and people are just opened up. It's like watching a flower bloom. People are like, "I had no idea. You know, I had all this in me. I knew I liked this, or I knew I liked that." You know, some people don't think that they just discount their purpose. You know, you have something that you can't help doing, and you're doing it, and you're just like, "Oh, it's nothing." No, it's something that got you doing that for God. It's for God. It's not just for you.
And that's so true. And you know, when you're saying there's nothing, because sometimes we do things, we walk in the blessing and the power that God gives us, and it looks like it's easy for us, but it's a process, and other people say, "Ooh, you could do it, I could do it, I don't know about doing that." Yeah, that ought to wear heavy on you, but it doesn't. I do a lot of ministry. People say, "Aren't you tired? You do this and that." But to me, it's nothing, because that's what God called me. I do no more than what the Father asked me to do.
Right.
You know, so
you
it makes
you
ministry a lot joyful. No, you can't.
So
now, tell me now.
It's 12 weeks, so that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. I want you to tell us about your workshop.
I was
going to
say, for the 12 weeks, the next class starts on, it runs Sundays, 4 to 6:30, and they're going to be in the Dallas area. I'm in the process now I'm looking for space to lease because I've been running stuff out of my home, but God, I just feel God telling me it's time to get a place. So I'm searching hard for a place and praying about a place. But the class is going to be September 13th, and it's going to run through November 22nd, and then the graduation will pause for Thanksgiving, and the graduation will be on December 6th. And it's $297 for the 12 weeks. That includes all, it's seven textbooks, because we do reading from people who have written about purpose, and it's we use books on purpose. We use my book. We're going to use a book by Beverly LaHaye, books that have impacted me, because I believe people still need to read. You read the Bible, but then you read information, other information that God has put in people. There's a book by Beverly LaHaye called A Spirit Controlled Woman. Awesome book. Awesome book. It really convinced me early on in my... So my book is A Suitable Helper. So I do talk about whether you're single or married, how to handle finances, because single people feel like I'm single, I can do whatever, spend, do whatever. And then married women tend to, you know, hide money and have separate bank accounts. And I'm like, because if you hide money, you'll hide other things. You know, the Bible talks about don't bring in the little foxes. It's just little things can turn into big things. So you want to be open and honest, you know, talk about, you know, the both of you talk about how you spend money, and then you should have your joint account, and then you have your separate stuff, but you still should be accountable to one another. You know, a man shouldn't come home from work and his house is fully furnished and there's no discussion that happened about it. Or you bought two new chairs, or you bought a dining table, or you know, you bought whatever. You know, you should agree that we're not going to spend more than $100 or $200, whatever your budget is, without talking to one another first. Because you the two becoming one, so you just can't say, well, it's my money, I work too. No, you need to talk about it together because you're building life together. So if you go out and buy two new chairs, if you go out and buy two new chairs for $700 and y'all didn't talk about it, you don't know. He may have had a plan that y'all saving for something else. So you got to talk about it.
Yes, you do. I tell you what, we don't have enough time for this. This has been a great interview. I thank God for you sharing your gifting with me and the listening audience this morning. Do you have a contact number? Someone wants to hear more about your life purpose courses that's coming up. You have a number or contact information that we can share?
I do. My email address is relationshipsgodstyle@yahoo.com. relationshipsgodstyle@yahoo.com. And my phone number is 469-432-5778.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm building my website again too. I'm getting everything reestablished, but God has blessed me in spite of that, so I'm just not rushing to do that.
Well, hey, man,
I'm gonna get a website, but I'm just got my email, and that's been working for me for the last several years. So it's been working.
No, it's been working, and thank you once again. You know, I met you a few weeks ago, and I was so kind of united there because we met at an event, Dallas Life, and you was volunteering down there along with myself, and we was at a appreciation banquet for the volunteers. And thank God that I met you, and you truly been a inspiration to me and to the program, to our listening audience, because someone needs to hear that. Thank you for part of your testimony and how God was able to turn things around in your life. Or, you know, we said from time to time, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good. God gave it a purpose and also gave you a passion to follow through. So I pray that you be very successful in the things that God put to your hands to do. As we get ready to get out of here, I want to thank you once again. And this show is archived, so you can always go back and listen to it at your convenience. You can add a clipping of it to your Facebook page if you have a desire. And I would like you to come back here on this program at a later date and give us an update and keep us aware of what's going on and share some information that makes a difference in the lives of the believers.
Thank you so much. I would be honored to come back.
Next, we get ready to get out of here. Would you close us out in a word of prayer, and then we're going to let you be released from this setting.
All right. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you right now for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We thank you for ministry, Lord, and everything that the world has made, it can be used for your glory because you allow it. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for Minister Joel and his heart for starting this radio and talking to people and being available and just being interested in what you're doing out in the world, God. You know, he wants to help other people know about you and come to you, Lord, and it's refreshing. So I thank you for that. I thank you for the men he's going to continue to touch. Thank you for the seeds that he's planting and that you're going to water and give the increase, Lord. And, Lord, just be with us as only you can. Just keep us and let us just keep living and serving you, God. We just thank you and we just praise you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, my sister. Pastor, you enjoy the time and we'll be talking later. Amen.
All right, thank you.
Amen. Oh, what a great time we had on the program. I want to thank you for listening on this program, Free on the Inside. You truly have been a blessing to this program. Here, our first guest was A.J. Johnson, the founder of Her and Hope. He came in and shared with us about the ministry of helping Dr. Life Foundation, about grooming, and then with Minister Dana. And with her workshop, Life Passion Workshop, and how she's the author of a book, and how she's making a difference in the lives of the men, the women that she encounter. I would like to thank you for continually to support this program. Until we meet again, you can go back and listen to this program, Blog Talk Radio, Granny's Place, Free on the Inside. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. As we get ready to get out of here, we close out in a word of prayer. Amen. We want to thank God for everything that he's doing. Precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for another opportunity, dear Lord. We thank you for the guests that came on this morning, dear Lord. We thank you for their passion, their love, and their desire to be useful in the kingdom. Dear Lord, a lot of us have gone through some things, but that ministry is what brought us to you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for Brother AJ, dear Lord, how he make himself available to minister to the young men down to Life Foundation and other ministry and other shelters that he go to, dear Lord. Thank you for Elder Dana, dear Lord. She made herself available, dear Lord, for the women, for life purpose, dear Lord. She knows her purpose and she knows her passion, but it all comes from God. Dear Lord, we ask you to continue to bless those two individuals, continue to let them be prosperous and successful in their ministry. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.